And welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, broadcasting from my basement out here on the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Steve Vaughn, also in studio with us. Just a couple of homeschooling dads bringing a biblical worldview to bear on the state of the nation in an era in which the nation is increasingly falling away from God's standards, and we are more and more abandoning faith, family, and freedom in this country. We are also intent on raising our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and coming back to the standards of God's Word and giving our children a biblical worldview, that is, a biblical outlook on epistemology, metaphysics, ethics, redemption, the nature of man, and all issues. We want to be sure that we're rebuilding the foundations, putting solid rebar into the foundations of our children's understanding of, well, just about everything according to the Word of God. And America is, of course, in a moral slide and has been for a very long time. Remember, there was abortion going on in the 1880s in America. However, the abortionists were arrested, and some of them, a number of them, committed suicide on their arrest. So this sort of thing was not that common, but there was a little bit of abortion going on in some of the seedy areas of New York City in the 1880s. But now, of course, abortion is everywhere, and the percentage of people that abort their children is really hard to know because of all of the chemicals, the Plan Bs, the abortifacients, and so forth being used. So the sheer percentage, the sheer quantities of children being aborted by their own parents in America, just we simply can't get our heads around this. America has, of course, violated God's laws at every point, the Sixth Commandment, Seventh Commandment, Eighth Commandment, Ninth Commandment, Tenth Commandment, you name it. America is abandoning God's laws big time. And for some reason, Gallup does a moral acceptability survey on an annual basis. I think they've been doing this, Steve, for about 20 years now, if I'm not mistaken. So it's really been going on for a very, very long time. And compared to last year, more Americans support the moral acceptability now of divorce, homosexuality, pornography, and polygamy. So, I mean, you name it. If it's the violation of God's law, Americans are for it. And more for it than ever before. So, again, I think the big takeaway is no great awakening going on across America as yet.
Not yet. We're not seeing people turning to God in massive numbers. We're seeing people turning away.
That's right.
In massive numbers. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're being taught this.
Yeah.
It's all over the place.
It's affected our institutions.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, you watch Big Love, HBO, you know, on polygamy. And everything goes except for whatever happens to be in line with God's word. Now, of course, you know, there's possible awakenings happening here and there. In fact, by God's grace, you know, we baptized a young man who was saved out of drug dealing. This happened a couple of weeks ago in our church. It was just a time of great celebration. So, you know, there are localized revivals going on all the time. We're thankful for each and every localized revival where God, by his mercy, reaches down in the middle of a gigantic moral collapse and he saves the soul of an individual here or there. So, and of course, families are more and more discipling their children here and there throughout America. We're thankful for that. And that's why the Generations broadcast from my basement out here on the Eastern Plains of Colorado, encouraging families to return to the Word of God and to rely upon the Holy Spirit of God to bring about his regenerating life in our children. And just last night, my wife and I were contemplating how wonderful God has been to our family and that our children are seeking the Lord. And they just really seem to have a heart for the Lord. And we're like, how did that happen, you know, with all the mistakes that we made?
In spite of us. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So we're very thankful for what God is doing. So again, my friends, as we look at the macro statistics, don't get too down in the mouth over this. There's some really good things going on here and there on in little islands of reformation and renewal across this country. But America is increasingly suppressing the conscience. I think this really is the takeaway on this Gallup poll. Americans are suppressing the conscience big time. They're suppressing and suppressing and suppressing. They're actually acting out immorality. And sometimes they're just taking the amoral approach in this as well, Steve. Sometimes Americans are just saying, hey, you know, there is no such thing as moral right and wrong. And they seem to be dead and callous to any idea that something may be right or wrong. They're just ambivalent on it, and so therefore they're not willing to say that polygamy is wrong.
Right. And again, it's just, as you said, suppression of the conscience and desensitization. When they're watching it on the screen, when they're hearing it in the schools, they hear it from the government, they hear it everywhere they go. Eventually, the conscience is going to be just seared and deadened, and then anything goes, because it's up to us to determine what's true, what's false, what's good, what's evil.
Where is America turning evil more than anywhere else? What is the biggest a shift in moral acceptability of the American conscience today? Turns out, here's the big winner on Gallup's 2018 Moral Acceptability Survey: pornography. Acceptability of pornography is the winner. Now, I hate to say that this is something we want to lift up as some big celebratory thing. It's not. But this is the big winner, sadly, in the American conscience. Americans more and more suppressing their conscience when it comes to pornography. The biggest shift in moral acceptability in America in the last 7 years, no question about it, pornography, a 13% increase from 30 to 43% moral acceptability in the last 7 years. Homosexuality is the winner for moral acceptability shift over the last 17 years, so over the long haul. Over the last 7 years of the Gallup poll on moral acceptability, homosexuality has a 27% increase in moral acceptability. And we've made the point before that that's probably due not to the politicians. The politicians are pretty much irrelevant when it comes to cultural shifts or to leading the nation. No, they don't lead the nation. Lady Gaga leads the nation. Come on. on. Steven Spielberg and Lady Gaga, they're the ones. Hollywood Nashville leads the nation. I mean, come on. These are the pastors. These are the cultural movers and shakers. It is most definitely Nashville. It's Kacey Musgraves, the country music star that does her Follow Your Arrow and gets all the rewards for the CMA awards ceremony. So, friends, it's Kacey. It's Gaga that leads the nation and has contributed the 27% increase in moral acceptability of homosexuality over the last 17 years. And another big shift that occurred over the last 8 years, polygamy, 7 to 18%. That's HBO. I mean, come on, that's HBO. Yeah. Everybody knows. Friends, it's ultimately the pop culture that leads the nation by the nose. Pop culture leads the nation by the nose, and that's why we wrote the book, The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture, for Christians who want to maintain something of an island of culture for their own families. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about these results, and I'm going to focus in on the massive approval of pornography that has swept across the nation. Men are approving pornography big time, and the conscience of the nation is big time suppressed in the area of pornography. And we're going to take a look at that next on the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Stephen also with me.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith. And it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you today as we take a look again at Gallup's Moral Acceptability Survey, which they have been doing for at least the last 17 years. And no surprise that homosexuality is at the highest level yet. Even the last year, homosexuality received an additional, I think, 3% bump, if I'm not mistaken. And so, yeah, Americans are accepting homosexuality big time. But it's really interesting that Americans are receiving fornication between unmarried men and women at almost exactly the same level as they receive homosexual fornication, which in some senses makes sense. 69% of Americans now approve of fornication between unmarried men and women, and 67% approve of homosexuality. And so you see there's almost identical. And I think that makes a lot of sense. Again, people don't want to be hypocrites. If you're going to approve of heterosexual fornication, you might as well approve of homosexual fornication. It's fornication. Let's just say it. It's sexual sin. So I think Americans generally, if they want to just, you know, live their life any way they want to and have sex with whatever they want to have sex with outside of the bounds of God's definitions and God's requirements, they're probably going to accept whatever across the board. Your sexual preference is, Americans are going to go for it. They don't want to be hypocrites. They want to say, okay, it's okay for me to violate God's laws and engage in heterosexual fornication, but it's not okay for you to violate God's laws in your homosexual fornication. So again, I think Americans are just trying to be consistent in their sexual sin.
Yeah, and that totally makes sense. I mean, once you throw God's law out the window, then you can use the same argumentation for everything. I mean, even you could get down to pedophilia and all of that. I mean, I'm trying to figure out why they would think that would be wrong anymore.
Yeah. Well, the more acceptability of polygamy has gone way, way up as well. I think it's up to, 17-18%. Again, I think people are asking the question, so what's wrong with polygamy? And, you know, if Christians are approving of tattooing, drinking blood, and everything else the pagans have done in history, then why wouldn't they add just one more pagan practice to the list? Does that make sense? I mean, again, if you're not using God's laws, if you're not going into God's word and saying, what does God's word say about polygamy? Is there any discouragement of polygamy in biblical revelation? I think you're going to find it all the way into the New Testament in 1 Timothy chapter 3. The requirements for elders certainly frowns on the possibility of somebody who wants to collect for himself more than one wife. So, that would be an example, again, using concrete, objective, biblical data to identify what God prefers or what God wants, what God doesn't want. You know, again, this is not our preferences that matter to the Christian. It's God's preferences that matter to the Christian. But again, Christians have lost their moral authority. And I think this is the other aspect to this. At one time, Christians were something of a moral conscience for the nation. But I don't think they are anymore, Steve. I don't hear Christians speaking with any kind of moral authority today. I don't think they're interested in the moral discussions of the day. They're not interested in homosexuality. They're not interested in abortion as much. They're not interested in anything to stand against the zeitgeist with God's law. They don't want to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. I don't think anybody does. Now, some people stand up and say, you know, it just seems wrong to just kill babies and cut off their legs and sell them to people. You know, there's something that feels like yucky about all that. So there's a little bit of the yuck factor that shows up in some of this. But I don't think Christians will want to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. I just don't think Christians are there.
No, and I think a lot of it has to do with their fear of people rather than the fear of God.
That's probably it.
And so they're afraid of what might happen to them. Well, I might lose my job. I'd lose my reputation. They even may know that it's wrong biblically. But, you know, if you start bringing up the Bible, now you've got to defend something that you really are afraid to defend.
Christians have a very, very hard time standing up as anything of a moral authority for the day, or appealing to the word of God or the law of God as a moral authority. And the law of God has received something of a bad rap as well. This, you know, the law of God has been equated with legalism. So if at any point you stand up and say, thou shalt not, you know, I mean, thou shalt not, you know, murder, thou shalt not walk into a school and murder 17 people. If you stand up and say something that is kind of a definitive way, as it is, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not wipe away 17 people in a school, it just feels legalistic to a lot of Christians.
Unless they say thou shalt not carry a gun, you know.
But then that's not thus saith the Lord.
Right. No, it's not.
That's thus saith Al Gore.
Right.
You know, and that bears a whole lot more authority for a lot of Christians than thus saith the Lord. So
right, because we become God then.
Yeah, exactly. The law of God has fallen on really hard times, my friends, and so Christians have surrendered all kinds of moral authority on the issue. The other thing is, I think, and this ties in the pornography issue as well, the idea that consenting adults can do whatever they want to do as long as they're not hurting anybody, that moral argument, quote unquote, has received a fair amount of airplay today. And so I think that's used for things like pornography, polygamy, homosexuality, and so forth.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, we just say, well, who came up with that idea? That's stupid. You
well,
know,
it's witchcraft.
Not, yeah.
Yeah. Do as thou wilt, yet harm none. That's yeah. that's the motto of,
oh, you're
of
right.
the
that,
witches.
That was the Wiccan. That was yeah. the satanic Bible approach to ethics. That's right.
Yeah.
Anton LaVey, was that the guy's name?
Anton LaVey wrote that's the right. satanic okay. Bible. Now, right. the witches would say they're not part of that, but they really are.
Yeah.
You know, do as thou wilt, yet harm none.
Right.
That. Yeah.
That's the libertarian
yeah.
witchcraft argument that's used oftentimes. And we're just saying, hey, friends, that's a dumb argument. For one thing, who knows what harms anybody? Nobody knows. And it's sort of a little bit of the ethical argument that you call utilitarianism.
Yeah.
It says you do that which produces the most good for the most people in the long run. But the problem is nobody knows what is good. That's the first
right.
problem. In a world where everything is relative and we have no idea what good is, we cannot possibly know what could produce the most good in the long run. For one thing, we don't have any kind of a universal knowledge of how one particular ethical application could affect people years and years and years from now. Like, as in, I'm rolling up this piece of toilet paper, I'm throwing it at you.
Hey!
Now, how is that going to harm you or harm future generations?
Well, you know, I just saw you stick it in your nose.
300, yeah, exactly. How might that action affect, you know, populations 300 years from now? Nobody yeah. knows.
No.
Nobody
the,
knows.
The butterfly effect.
You might explain what I just did. I rolled up a piece of toilet paper. I threw it
at
Steve.
Me. Yeah. yeah. You hit me now, square in the chest.
How does that ethical action affect you, but not just you, but your whole family and future generations from now?
Yeah.
See, nobody knows. Nobody knows but one, and that is, of course, God. God
yeah.
knows.
And he was challenged, too, on that. You know, well, hey, good teacher, well, why do you call me good? There's yeah. none good but God.
That's right.
And so that's the only place where we can find what is good.
Amen. Amen. All right. Now, for the rest of the program, I'd like to take a look at the biggest shift in moral acceptability in America over the last 7 years, and it happens to be in the acceptability of pornography. And moral acceptability for pornography has gone from 30% to 43% in just the last 7 years. This is the biggest shift in moral acceptability in America in the last 7 years. And so I just want to spend a little bit of time with this. For men ages 18 to 49, some 67% said porn was okay. And that was a 14% increase from last year. Can
wow.
you believe that, Steve?
Wow.
Just in the last year, young men, that is the younger group, 18 to 49 years of age, the men who are probably more sexually engaged, sexually aware, sexually active, this particular group has just embraced the moral acceptability of pornography by an increase of, I can't believe this, I had to read this several times in the Gallup report, but the moral acceptability amongst these young men increase big time, 14 points in just a single year. That I think is probably the biggest increase in moral acceptability of something very, very immoral in the history of the United States in any given year.
Yeah.
So I think what we're looking at right now, friends, is American men have worked their way down the sewer pipe. They just dropped into the septic tank just in the last year. I think that just happened, Steve.
I mean,
the moral acceptability and the suppression of conscience in the area of pornography has increased 14% among young men 18 to 49 years of age in just a single year. Incredible. 67% of American young men are saying porn is okay. That's a 14% increase in just the last year. Now, why is this? Now, why are they embracing the moral acceptability of pornography? I think the reason is because 80% of young men are doing it. And
yeah.
you look at the surveys, this wasn't, I mean, they're doing it on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Now, I'm guessing that in the 1970s, you know, a fair amount of young men probably would glance over some kind of pornographic thing, you know, one time when they're 17 years of age or whatever, but they didn't have regular access to it. It was very difficult to get access to pornography. There were limits to that, to accessibility to pornography. And they, you know, they would keep their pornography behind the counters and it was not accessible. And there was something morally unacceptable about it. That is, society made it a little bit more difficult to access pornography. Nowadays, of course, it's just click, 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 and you're there. So, you know, the difference between the 1990s and today, big time different because of the accessibility to small iPhones where your signals are accessed, I mean, anywhere, right? By
oh, yeah.
by a phone line, you can you, wherever you get a phone line, you have access to the internet and pornography. And so young people can access pornography anywhere they want to, anytime they want to. And that was not the case in the 1970s. So what we're looking at is a massive, I'm saying a thousands of times increase in accessibility to pornography compared to the 1970s and 1980s. So, wow, the moral acceptability of pornography way, way up, because the accessibility to pornography way, way, way up. 80% of young men are doing porn on a regular basis, monthly, weekly basis. 80% of young men are addicted to pornography, and it's hard to call something bad when 80% of people are doing it. And that's the same thing with things like homosexuality. I think one of the reasons why polygamy is still frowned upon in the nation is because it's a very, very low percentage of people doing it, meaning that's, you know, what, less than 0.5% or something of American people are engaging in polygamy. But when 80% of young men are accessing pornography, you can bet that that you're going to be a huge acceptability factor going on in the minds of young people today. People are pretty much sold on this idea. If it doesn't hurt somebody in any obvious way, it's got to be okay. But it's still a sin. And the Bible would say that excessive, willful accessing of pornography is a sin. It's a sin for a lot of reasons. Finding sexual fulfillment in pictures. That's what it is, right? It's images.
Yeah.
Isn't that what pornography is? Pornography is images, objects in which people find sexual fulfillment. And whether that be inanimate objects or animate objects on screens or animate objects in 3D, 4D space, electronic images, whatever it is, there's really no difference between finding sexual fulfillment in inanimate objects and the sin of finding sexual fulfillment in things like incest, homosexuality, bestiality, and so forth and so on. So I think we just have to be honest, okay, that finding sexual fulfillment in pictures or finding sexual fulfillment in animals or finding sexual fulfillment in incestuous relationships or in relationships outside of the bounds of a biblical marriage, it's just sinful. It's just wrong. It's a violation of the seventh commandment. It's the idea of licentiousness. The Bible speaks of this throughout. So, again, we need to define it clearly as a sin against God. That's the first thing we have to do as Christians. We can't just be embarrassed of God's law. We have to be willing to stand up and say, this is a sin. Now, I've had some sinful issues in my life in relation to sexuality. I have. And you say, well, how did God convict me of these things when I was a young man? How did he convicted me of these things by the clear statements made in Old and New Testaments, period. Steve, I just say it. I was convicted. I sat there and looked at these verses and I said, God's law condemns me right now. And I got down on my knees in conviction of my sin. Have you ever been convicted of your sin, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you know what it's like, right? God's law is looking you straight in the eye and saying, you're just wrong.
Yeah.
This is just wrong. You have sinned against God, and you are a hell-deserving sinner, as everybody else is, and you just need to confess this sin before the Lord right now. And I have done that on multiple occasions. It is the law of God that has convicted me of my sin. And we need to face people who are dealing with the pornography issue right now and say, you are sinning against God. A holy God is looking at you and saying, you have sinned against me and you are corrupt in your body, you're corrupt in your soul, and you need to find this cleansing and forgiveness that can only come through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for these sins. So that's the message that needs to be pressed upon young men. What you're doing is wrong. And it's not just wrong because it's, you know, messing somebody else up. It's going to mess your marriage up. Probably will. Mess your marriage up, probably mess your kids up to multiple generations. You know, we've seen this happen. Multiple generations affected by sexual sin of fathers and grandfathers. I've seen it in my counseling. Mm-hmm. I've heard about it again and again and again. And yeah, you're going to mess up a lot of people. You're going to hurt a lot of people. You're going to hurt your family. So, but that's not the big issue. The big issue is you've sinned against God, and God is offended by this. And you need to get right with a holy God. And the only way to do it is by getting down on your knees and pleading the blood of Christ right now.
Yeah, and that I think that's why, yeah, as I'm reading through Paul's letters, I mean, over and over again, he's saying, flee sexual immorality. And that's, I think, one of the biggest issues, even back at that time, was you have to flee it. You can't, you know, try to face it.
Yeah.
You flee it.
Yeah, exactly. You don't draw near to your house and check it out. What is this? What, you know, what's going on over here? Yeah, no, this is fleeing sexual temptation. And there's other aspects of the sin of it. There's idolatry. There's a self-centeredness that's all tied up in pornography and self-fulfillment and so forth. Also, it removes all altruistic love, turns sexuality into a purely self-centered thing. And how is that going to work out when you get married? You know,
right?
When your sexual intimacy with your wife is going to be, you know, me, all about me, baby. That's not going to work in the marriage.
Serving each other in that area is the best.
Exactly. And if it's not that, then we're going to see a dysfunctional relationship form in the intimacy within the marriage as well. So again, my friends, so many problems wrapped up, so many sins wrapped up in pornography. It also destroys a young man's virginity and awakens him immediately to other forms of fornication as well. It destroys humanity and personality and human relationship. We've referred to this before in the program. It takes all human relationship out of the closest possible human intimacy, which is just one of the sickest things you could possibly imagine. The idea of, this kind of intimacy with zeros and ones on a screen. I mean, that just is horrible. It destroys the humanity and the personality of the young man. It will destroy the humanity and personality of the women with whom the young man has some communication or does not have communication. And even worse, pornography objectifies women and presents them as if they are not created in the image of God. Now, I don't particularly like the word objectifies. I'd much rather just say, as men are engaging their porn on the screens, they then transfer that perspective of women to the women with whom they have some communication. And in the end, it presents these women as if they were not created in the image of God and creates a perfect storm for abuse and wife abuse, child abuse, et cetera, et cetera. And how many times have we counseled people who have engaged in abuse in the family? And it might be physical abuse, might be sexual abuse, but whatever it is, oftentimes it's related to their porn habits. It is a scourge, my friends. Pornography is a scourge. It is a curse. It is like locusts cleaning out a whole valley of crops. It has turned America into a barren sexual wasteland. This is a curse on America. And now the moral acceptability of it among young men has increased big time in just the last year. And so what do, my friends? Well, we repent. Now, it's interesting. Proven Men Ministries did a survey comparing Christian men and the men out there in the world when it comes to doing pornography. 64% of American men view porn monthly. And get this, 64% of Christian men in America view porn monthly.
Wow.
Can you believe that? I was thinking there's got to be something of a difference between, you know, Christian men. Men who profess to be Christian and the rest of the population. 65% of American men have viewed porn in the last 90 days. 65% of Christian men have viewed porn in the last 90 days.
That's just
the difference?
Zero.
Zero. That's right. Zero. This shows you the powerlessness of the gospel or whatever gospel people are receiving. Wow, there must be a huge amount of appearance of religion, but lacking the power thereof in America today. That's just incredibly sad. I mean, this is heartbreaking that the Christian religion has almost zero influence, zero salt, zero light, zero influence in the lives of Christian men. But if the Son will set you free, you will be free indeed. So once you come to know Jesus, I'm talking about the real Jesus. Not the fake Jesus. I'm talking about the real Jesus. Once you come to know the real Jesus, he will set you free. He will set you free. If the Son will set you free, you will be free indeed. And so as you receive the true Jesus, as you trust in the real Jesus, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, this Son, this true Son will set you free, and you will be free indeed. It's not coming to Jesus saying, I'm not sure you can do this, Jesus. No, it's coming to the Jesus who can do this. So again, my friends, it's the Jesus you believe in that matters. It's the Jesus who came to save you, to nail the world to the cross, to nail your old man, that fleshy old man to the cross. It's that Jesus that sets the captives free. And so you have to receive his authority. You have to receive the authority of his word, the promise that he gives to you. And receive it truly that Jesus came to set the captives free. Now, a couple other verses that are helpful. A verse that I've used to cultivate a purity of life and thought for myself, Galatians 6, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So it's so important to keep this in mind. You sow to the flesh, you will reap of the flesh corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap fruit of the Spirit. You cannot play with it. You can't play with R-rated movies. You can't play with R-rated music. Christians are called to be separate. Listen to 2 Corinthians 6:14. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship is light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, that then I will welcome you and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. What does this mean? This means come out from among them, be separate. Come out from among Hollywood and Nashville. Come out from among those secular systems that are constantly working on us to loosen our view of sexual sin. Come out from among these systems and be separate, saith the Lord, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. All right, well, that's the instruction this day from God's Word, and I encourage you to our little book, Keep the Faith on Sexuality, if you'd like just a little bit more on this subject. May God strengthen you. May God bring you to the gospel and realize that the real Christ will set you free from all of the bondage of your sin. He will enable you to rise up and walk in newness of life and increasingly mortify the sinful flesh in your own life. This is the true Jesus. He does set the captives free, and he says, if the Son will set you free, you will be free indeed. Indeed.
Amen.
And indeed. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.